Okay, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about this being the golden age of television. The industry has changed dramatically in the last 10 years with the growth of digital television, on-demand programming and online streaming sites such as Netflix. So in this week's Industry Review, we're looking at how the TV production industry in Ireland has adapted to these changes and whether the golden age of TV has arrived or even departed these shores. To discuss, I've convened, as I said, a top panel of some of Ireland's top TV production people. They are Ariel MacMurracu, he's the owner and CEO of Nemeton. Larry Bass is the CEO and executive producer at Screen Time Shinawil. And the founder and CEO of Coco Television, Stuart Switzer, also joins us. Gentlemen, you're all very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby.
Morning.
Ariel, we might start with you, actually. You're in this business a long time. I think you sort of drifted into it. You tell us your mother was a sports journalist and you ended up covering some holiday relief, and next thing you're a TV production man. So you have an interesting history in it, and maybe you might just tell us a little bit about your business and then maybe your opinion of how the industry is today.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's an interesting story. An accidental television producer. I was a sales rep when my mother got ill. She was Ireland's first female sports journalist. And when she got ill, I stood in temporarily into her very competitive freelance role. She never went back to journalism. I never went back to repping and went from newspapers to radio to television. A little bit of television was the original intention. But as anyone in the industry knows, television is an all-consuming animal and you either go with it. The monster consumes you. It consumed me and I've enjoyed every day of it.
Okay. And then your business then. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, we produce mainly 75% of our work is live sports. We produce all of the live sport for TG Cahir. We also provide people and facilities for Sky Sports, RTE, BBC and a lot of other broadcasters. We've recently moved into the online area, which is growing significantly, even though it's not as good for business as traditional television is. We're based down in the Gaeltacht on Rhine, next to Dungarvan in County Waterford. We have 6 edit suites, a HD studio and a staff of 50. That's basically us.
That's great. Stuart Switzer is our next guest. Stuart, you're very welcome to
Thank
the
you,
programme.
Bobby.
Maybe you might tell us a little bit about Coco Television and, again, your own business.
Okay, a different background to Ariel. Mine was in accounting. I decided when I left school I wanted to be an accountant. And then I saw the light and put the quill pen away when I came across telly, because it's a much sexier business than auditing somebody's, you know, 1992 financial statements.
There's always a role for accountants, Stuart,
absolutely,
in any business.
Absolutely. So our business is based in Dublin and in London, and it's run by myself and my business partner, Linda Cullen, which is probably the best business move I ever made, was convincing Linda Cullen to join our business. She is their best producer in Ireland. Good morning, Linda. So our business is made up of, we do some UK formats, remakes, things like First Dates and Don't Tell the Bride. A lot of our own formats and productions, Room to Improve, an architectural makeover series, probably one of the most popular on RTE television. We cover St. Patrick's Festival as an outside broadcast. And I suppose we've just finished a huge project, 1916, the Irish Rebellion, which has been screened in over 60 countries worldwide.
Yeah, I want to come back to that. Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute because I thought the figures on it were particularly interesting. Let me bring in our third guest, Larry Bass from Screen Time Shinawil. Well, Larry, you're very welcome to the programme. And obviously you and I know each other of old, Larry. We've worked together for many years, but you're very welcome to the programme. Tell us all about your business.
Shinawil it is now, Bobby. We got rid of Screen Time. We got rid of Banijay. We got rid of all foreign nationals out of our ownership of the company. So it's now a wholly Irish company looking to grow internationally. So we're just Shinawil at the moment. Office in Dublin and Belfast. And we're probably best known for doing some of the Irish versions of international formats such as Dragon's Den, obviously, Bobby, The Apprentice, MasterChef. We did The Voice, which finished on RTE earlier on this year. And next year we bring Dancing with the Stars, which is the Irish version of Strictly, to Ireland on RTE1. So we've been busy for about 15 years.
That's great. And your own background, because the other two lads gave us theirs, Larry, you were effectively a man who spun discs in the very early days.
Well, I was doing radio in studios that were a little bit less salubrious than this. Sometimes you used to have to grab the crystal out of the transmitter and run down the stairs as the police were coming up the stairs. So I was born in pirate radio in Dublin, aged 13. My brother was a DJ on Southside Radio in the Victor Hotel in Dunleary. It's now the Rudston Lodge Hotel. And in the what was the laundry underneath it was Southside Radio. Actually set up by Andy Rowan, as we know him now, who was then known as Andy Coffey, or the Mayor of Monkstown, as he was at that stage.
Right.
But it was fantastic days. I mean, to learn broadcasting, radio is the place, I think. Anyone who wants to learn about being a broadcaster, doing daily radio is fantastic. You're having conversations about so many different things. You have to reinvent it every single day. So that's a great grounding to get into television, and where you have to reinvent things not so fast.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, like a lot of things in my life, I did it the wrong way around. But tell me about the formats, Larry. You mentioned some of the ones that. How important is having formats that work internationally, I suppose, to resell here or to remake here?
I think, you know, the television format business has been around since television itself. They first developed in the 1950s, mainly dominated by the US. But then a lot of the UK companies in the 90s started really taking off. And in fact, some of the dominant formats around the world have been UK formats. But I think broadcasters, especially these days where I suppose we are moving into a world that's a little bit more risk averse than it was certainly 10, 15 years ago, a balance of having a little bit of mix of a tried and trusted format from elsewhere and, you know, creating and making new ones. And I think one of the things is we're starting to see, we're starting to see it, maybe Stuart would share this, but RTE are getting very brave at the moment and really trying out some new formats. And our ambition is not to become the maker of international formats. We want to be the seller of international formats. So we sold a couple over the years, and we launched a new format last year called What Are You Eating? And we're looking to sell that this year. And we're adding in two more new formats later on this year.
Okay.
So that's really the future, and it's a big international business.
Let me bring Ariel back in, Ariel McMurrough from Nemeton. Just the customers, and this is one of the difficulties, is that there aren't too many of them, so we can name them. We've RTE, we've UTV, we've TV3. RTE have spent 50% of what they used to spend on production. That surely has to have a big knock-on into your business.
Absolutely. The Irish market, the cake is diminishing. Since the recession, as you say, RTE's spend has halved through the IPU. TG Carr's budgets have been cut. TV3 have had their financial pressures. On the other side then, there are more and more smaller, newer companies all competing for a smaller cake. So the cake is diminishing, but the amount of production companies is increasing.
So should there be consolidation in the industry then? If it's a smaller cake and too many small players, should you guys not be all becoming one big company?
Let me put it to you like this. If you took the entire production sector in the whole of Ireland and merged it together, you still wouldn't be as big as one of the medium-sized companies in London.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. But there's something uniquely Irish about every new producer wanting to have a company. You know, and it runs contrary to everything that you should understand about business. You either want to be a craftsperson, a craftsman or a craftswoman and make programmes, or you want to build a business. And often these one-person companies, while they've increasingly fragmented the market, they would probably be much better off financially in every other way if they were working for somebody like Larry or Stuart.
Okay. Let me bring
bit like every Irish person wanting to own their own house.
Let me bring in Stuart on that very point, Larry. Stuart, we mentioned RTE there, you mentioned the 1916 rebellion. It cost $2.5 million to make, and yet RTE only invested 7% of that. In other words, the point I'm making here is that you have to bring television ready-made and paid for to your customer. In other words, here you go, lads, do you want this? It's after costing me $500,000 to make, and I've funded it up to now, and you can sell ads off the back of it. Is that really what happens?
That's partly true. Like,
it's
all
pretty
of these
crude,
things,
I know.
Yeah, no, it's partly true. I mean, I think big projects like 1916, the Irish Rebellion, would never be funded from our small domestic market, costing 2.5 million euros for 3 hours of television. Realistic, that will never be made here. Because, as Ariel has said, the spend by RTE on independent production is now about 40 million, which is about 12% of their total income. So it just gives you an idea of the small percentage of the total revenue of 360 million per annum that RTE are spending on independent production. So given that has to satisfy the needs of both channels, and between us and some of the other major companies, we make the most popular programmes on Irish television. So to expect that there would be 2.5 million ring-fenced for one documentary series about 1916 would be somewhat naive.
Okay.
So, but absolutely, you know, the RTE investment, or a domestic broadcaster's investment in a project, is an important part of the mix. We can't go abroad without some money in the pot.
Yeah, you've got to have skin in the game.
You've got to have skin in the game. And I accept in that project, RTE had a small amount of monetary skin in the game, but a lot of themselves went into the game, if you like. It was an important part of their schedule. But, you know, that project was different in the sense that a lot of that money was financed. That, you know, 40% of the money came out of Ireland because we used Section 481, which is a very important funding tax break mechanism here. And a lot of money that came from the US. But again, because it came from the US, it reached 92% of homes in the US, which is a phenomenal figure. Yeah. In 47 states. Amazing viewing figures. It's screened in 60 countries around the world.
Yeah.
You know, for our little rebellion, did we ever know?
Okay.
But I think the important thing, Bobby, is the RTE money in Stuart's programme was the first dollar. And that's the thing. We need our national broadcaster stepping up, investing in Irish film. One of the few countries in Europe where we don't have any statutory spend into Irish film from the broadcaster. But we have a broadcaster that is under-resourced. We have a broadcaster which depends far more on advertising than any other PSB in Western Europe. And we need a broadcaster that actually has proper licence fee or household charge, call it what you like, but if we don't invest in Irish broadcasting, we won't have Irish programming. And that's really, really part of what has to happen. And unfortunately, I don't think this particular government are going to have broadcasting as its priority over the next couple of budgets. But if you look back on the last few programmes for governments, broadcasting has never been a priority. But yet when politicians come out at election time, they will want to be on the national broadcaster talking about their various issues and debating their various ways. But if they don't invest in it, there won't be a broadcaster to actually have that political debate. So the body politic will suffer if we don't support Irish broadcasting.
A few things I wanted to ask you about is the role of the BAI. A lot of projects, I've been involved in one myself recently, where the BAI provide funding. How important is that in terms of it being a constitute cost part?
It's really important. Like, you hit the nail on the head earlier on. You said we're a very small market, very, you know, we've only got a few customers. By having a top slice of the license fee, which is what the BAI Sound Division Fund is consisted of, it takes money actually from RTE, but it spreads it around a little bit. Mm. RTE gets some of it, RTE programmes get some investment from the Sound Division Fund, but also programmes that go on TG Cahir is a big beneficiary. TV3, UTV Ireland, the series that we're doing with yourself for UTV Ireland is a BAI-funded project. It spreads it around a little. And I think it's really important that there is a number of places to go to actually get some funding from.
We've loads of texts in. You might help me with some of them. Can you ask Larry and your guests, why do we keep borrowing formats like Dragon's Den and Bake Off and now Dancing with the Stars? This is from Johnny. He's suggesting that we're borrowing these formats. Larry, what do you make of that?
Well, we're actually we are doing what every other country in the world does. We're
giving buying them.
Yeah, we pay a lot of money for them, but we also entertain a lot of Irish viewers, you know, with these shows, and they're watching the shows anyway. So why not watch an Irish version of it? But we're also creating new shows, and we're taking those shows out to the international world. And like you said, you know, I think a little bit more consolidation and bigger companies getting out there and actually taking on what is the boom time in television globally. It's time for us to get out and do it like the Irish animation companies are doing it.
One for you, Ariel. Brave man making a living in TV. That's from Justin. Brave men even making a living in TV. Somebody saying it's a precarious living to make.
Well, it is, but we're in our 23rd year now, so the average lifespan of a production company in Ireland is 5 years, so we've crossed the 5-year barrier, right. The 10, the 15 and the 20.
You're so, a veteran then.
We're still working successfully and, as I said earlier, enjoying every minute of it down in Ireland's ancient east in Waterford.
The one that stretches all that far. Stuart Switzer, could I ask you, a texter says, what's the panel's best advice for someone who has a great idea for a TV show but doesn't want it robbed?
Talk to one of the big producers, like any of us sitting around the table. Get a non-disclosure agreement signed and come and talk to us. Do not try and run on your own. We've been at this game, as Ariel said, between us and other companies in this business at a long time. We know our way around. We can help.
What about tax incentives? Are they an important part of getting a production to air?
I think the tax incentive in Ireland has been massive. I mean, it's one of the most beneficial tax incentives in the world, in fact. It's now a 32% net tax relief. But it really does need that other funding. You can't have tax relief in isolation. You can't have tax relief with a film board that only has enough money to fund micro budgets.
Yeah.
You know, the Danish film board gets 6 times the budget of the Irish film board. And they're making films that are, you know, pushing out and seeding a TV drama industry that's pushing out drama right around the world. You know, this is not a, you know, money for nothing game. This is a game that if you actually invest, it'll grow and bring back. So it's hugely important that it's not just the tax relief, we actually fully fund the broadcasters and the film board.
What would really be a game changer though in our industry is some kind of a tax incentive scheme for research and development. It's not available to our industry, which takes a huge amount of research and development. R&D schemes apply for pharma and other types of companies, but in our industry, if it were made available, it would genuinely be a game changer.
And we also need to tackle piracy. You know, we're a country that practically legalises piracy with our cable channels, who actually rebroadcast all public service broadcasting for free, yet they sell it into your house, whether it's a cable company or satellite company rebroadcasting it. And it goes back to the days when we had pirate radio before we ever commercial radio.
Yeah, somebody has to pay somewhere.
It has to be paid for. And if we want Irish content, we need it. You know, why can't we, you know, bring in some sort of regime that if you're going to be collecting advertising revenue around from, you know, channels that don't even operate from Ireland, but are collecting lots of advertising. Yeah, there should be a levy on that.
Does the likes of Netflix and that make much difference? In other words, is that potentially a new customer?
Absolutely.
So
wait
really
till Apple start broadcasting. And wait till Google start broadcasting quality programs through YouTube. So the world is changing. There's huge opportunity.
Emma Texter says to us, as Orson Welles says, I hate TV nearly as much as I hate peanuts, but I can't stop eating peanuts.
That's good news for us.
Stuart, where do you see the business going next?
I think, you know, that as you said, there are Netflix and Amazon and all new platforms emerging, which are opportunities. But we do need to create, as Ariel was talking about, the size of the cake in the Irish market. We're not looking for grants. We're not looking for handouts. We're looking for, I think, reorganisation of the marketplace. I think there are 3 political moves that could be done to dramatically change the size and spend there is on Irish production. The first would be to move away from a licence fee to a media charge.
Okay.
The last government talked about it. They seem to be backing away. That puts 20...
It's dead. Alex White was talking about it. Pat Rabbit spoke about it.
Post-water tax, it ain't happening.
But there's inventive as well about the way they roll it out. I mean, why not just change the name of the licence fee to a household charge and then in 2 years hence change the way it's collected? Bingo, you're there.
Yeah.
It's already in existence.
You know, I mean, that's an opportunity. It needs some political balls to make it happen. The second issue is the opt-out advertising on all the UK channels that are broadcast in here. That's taking 40 or 50 million of commercial revenue out of the Irish industry. Why are we letting that happen? We need to look at it. I accept there's EU legislation, there's all sorts of reasons, but that is Irish spend going to UK-based companies with no payback to the Irish economy. We need to look at that. And the third thing, and then I'll shut up, Bobby, sorry, we need to reimagine our national broadcaster. They are a 20th century organisation operating in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Why are there 2,000 people in Donnybrook?
I think you said it, did you, Stuart?
You know, why does... Why
300 million on... 333 million on... but only 40 million is spent on enterprise. Most of it's staff.
But I mean, I think there are lots of fantastic people who work there, and it's not the people, it's the organisation and the structure that defeats them. We need change.
Let me give the last word to Larry Bass. Sponsorship, product placement, Larry, has that changed the revenue model for the business?
Well, it's one of the revenue models, and it was brought in by the EU Commission to actually compensate for the diminishing return of spot advertising with proliferation of digital channels and all sorts of new technologies that, you know, you do now have to spend your money in different ways. We see product placement and sponsorship as part and parcel of how we fund all programmes, and we have a full-time sponsorship manager to bring it in.
Listen, it's been a great discussion. I've really enjoyed it. The text line has actually exploded here, so people are clearly interested in the space. Big thanks to my guests, Ariel McMurrough-Coo, the CEO of Nemeton, Larry Bass, the CEO and executive producer of Shinawil, and Stuart Switzer, the CEO of Coco Television. Thanks very much, guys. I really enjoyed that.
You're welcome, Bobby. Thanks for having us.